אנחנו קוראים בספר
We're reading in the book Zohar, the Zohar. And you can ask questions on Kab.TV, and relevant questions can be aired, maybe aired during the lesson. So we'll be reading from item 191, if you have the Hebrew text and you wish to follow. After the spirits were created, and the spirits stayed after the grinding stones of the Nukva of the Great Abyss. The Klipa that corresponds to Bina is called the Great Abyss, and the Klipa that corresponds to Malchut is called the Small Abyss. And in each of them there is male and female. The male is called Vehicle, and the female is called Grinding Stones. And after the spirits and demons were created, he sanctified the day immediately because he didn't manage to make them bodies. On Shabbat, all the judgments come out of her, and then the Malchut rises to Bina and becomes like her. Therefore, the force of dominion extends from Bina, and it has put all the flawed spirits into the place of Nukva of Bina of Klipa, after the grinding stones of the Nukva of the Great Abyss. This Klipa has completely subdued to under the Malchut of Kedusha, and therefore all the flaw in the spirits has disappeared as long as they are there. Since the sanctity of the day emerged out in the exit of Shabbat, and the spirits were not completed, they emerge to the world and wander in every spirit, and the people of the world have to watch out from them. Then all the left line and burning fire and hell awakened, and all those from the left side walk and wander about in the world, and they want to clothe in the body, and they can't. So they should watch out from them. And the sages made a correction to say a song of damages, hurts, to sit in concealment in any time that their fear dwells in the world. Article, the Sukkah, the Tabernacle of Peace, 192. At the time that he sanctified the day in the night of Shabbat, the Sukkah of Peace dwells in the world, and it spreads in the world. The Sukkah of Peace is Shabbat, since all the spirits and the storm and the demons and all the impure side, they all hide and enter the center of the grinding stones of the Nukva of the Great Abyss. And because the Kedusha awakened to dwell in the world, the spirit of impurity will not awaken with her, because that runs away from this. The Kedusha, sanctity, runs away from impurity, and the impurity runs away from sanctity. Then in Shabbat, the world is under the keeping from above, and you don't need to pray for keeping. It's as if to say that he keeps his nation Israel forever, amen. Because this is the blessing that was fixed only for the weekdays, that the world needs keeping. But on Shabbat, the Sukkah of Peace has spread around the world, and it keeps from all sides. And even the wicked ones in hell are kept. Everything is in peace, the upper ones and the lower ones. Therefore, in the sanctity of the day, instead of blessing he who keeps his nation Israel, we bless he who spreads the Sukkah of Peace on Israel and Jerusalem.
We need to imagine to ourselves that we are in a workshop. Just like in a workshop, the same spirit. And we are reading the Zohar together in a circle. And our problem is just one. Discovering the face of the king, how to discover the quality of bestowal so that it would dwell among us.
And why do we say on Jerusalem, Jerusalem is the section for this sukkah, where the sukkah of peace stands. The sukkah of peace is Bina, and it's called that way because it covers her sons, the Zon, and keeps them, protects them from the external ones. The matter of Shabbat is that the Malchut became one with the Sukkah of Peace. And it is discerned that the section of the Sukkah of Peace is in Jerusalem, the Malchut. Therefore, they say, on Jerusalem. And we should pray and invite this Sukkah of Peace to spread over us and dwell with us and be on us as the mother that covers her sons. Due to that, on Shabbat, there's no reason to be afraid from any side in the world. And we say, he who spreads the Sukkah of Peace, and we don't need to say, he who keeps his nation Israel forever. When Israel bless and invite to the Sukkah of Peace the holy guest, because he comes only on Shabbat, as a guest that is not permanent, and we say he spreads the Sukkah of Peace, then the upper holiness descends and spreads her wings over Israel and covers them as a mother towards sons, and all the kinds of evil depart from the world, and Israel sit under the holiness of their master. And then this Sukkah of Peace provides new souls to Israel, because in it dwell souls, because she is Bina, and the souls are in Bina, and they emerge from her. And since the Sukkah of Peace dwells and spreads her wings over her sons, she bestows new souls to everyone.
The fact that yesterday in the workshop we talked about the spiritual world, the upper world, being revealed in our relationships through our efforts by each one of us, hiding his ego, rising above it, wanting to be connected with the others, and by that to discover a network of connection between us. And through this network of connection, one can discover all the phenomena that the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of. It's the wisdom of revelation. What we are reading now is actually everything that they discover in according to the manner of the revelation. Each time it's a different manner. Gradually, as they ascend, descend, change, accordingly, that there is 10 of them, and each one he does it in his manner, and there's a special balance between them. There are many types of balance between the 8 main qualities that are between Keter and Malchut. And they write about that. That's what they tell us about. So, we have to, each time when we hear about a certain phenomenon, a certain depiction, we immediately should give it the right place. Where do we yearn to discover it? This is called yearning to know what we study. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, to yearn to have this depiction in us, to for us to live in it. As he writes in letter 155 in a preface to Taz, that we yearn to know what we study, meaning to couple with it, to connect with it, to live in it. With such an inclination, when we yearn, we precisely reach the center of the group. And then we indeed see the Zohar as sparkling, as shining.
Shabbat is like the next world, and therefore the fallow and the yovel are equal, and Shabbat and the next world are the same, are like it, because Shabbat, Malchut, is like the fallow, and the next world is Bina, like Yovel. And since the Shabbat and the next world are equal, it turns out that then the fallow and the Yovel are equal to each other, because the Shabbat is when Malchut rises to Bina and becomes one with her. The difference between Shabbat and the next world to Shemitah, fallow, and Yovel is that the Bina is called Yovel under the governance of the left. And when the Malchut is included in this aspect, it's called, the Malchut is called fallow. However, when the Malchut is included with all three lines of Bina, then the Malchut is called Shabbat, or the Sukkah of Peace, and the Bina is called the next world. The addition of a soul that the Sukkah of Peace bestows to her sons comes from Zachol, Zoranpin, to the Sukkah of Peace, and it extends from the next world. And the addition of the soul that the Sukkah of Peace receives from Zoranpin is, it provides to the holy people, and they are happy with the addition of the soul and any mundane item and any item of sorrow and any evil is forgotten from them. As it is written, the Creator gave you from His might and sturdiness and from this hard work. And this is during the attainment of the addition of soul from the Sukkah of Peace. On the night of Shabbat, the man should taste from all the foods that he have in order to show that the Sukkah of Peace is comprised of all three lines of Bina. And he shouldn't miss even one meal that he needs on the day of Shabbat. Because by tasting in the night of Shabbat from all the foods, he will not miss a bit from the meal of the day of Shabbat, because the honor of the day is better than the honor of the night. Some say that he shouldn't miss from the other two meals of the day of Shabbat, and it's good to be meticulous about this. And you shouldn't say that if he has more than two meals for the day of Shabbat, then he can taste from every food. And at the least, if he has two food remaining for the day of Shabbat. The candle of Shabbat can be lit by the women of the holy people, because Chava, Eve, turned off the candle of the world that brought death in the world by the tree of knowledge that she fed the first man with and darkened the world. Therefore, the mitzvah of lighting candles were given to the women to correct the action of Eve, the first woman. Because the Sukkah of Peace that gives light in Shabbat is the mother of the world, and the souls who are the upper candles dwell in it. And therefore the mother, the woman, must light the candles, because she stands in the place of the mother of the upper mother of the sons, which is the Sukkah of Peace. And she does that deed. And by that deed, she causes the mother of the sons above to bestow holy souls to her sons, the upper spiritual candles. And because of the aforementioned, the woman should be joyfully and deliberately kindle the candle of Shabbat, because the upper honor goes to her, and it's a great privilege for her to merit by turning on the lights, the candles, to the holy sons, so that the candle of the world will be in Torah and awe, and this will multiply peace in the world. And she gives her husband longevity, and because of that, she needs to watch out while lighting the candles, to have it in great intention. The night and the day of Shabbat is Zachor and Shamor as one, and therefore it's written in the first tables, Zachor, the remember, the day of Shabbat and its sanctity. And in the last tables, it says, keep the day of Shabbat, because Zachor and Shemor are as one. Zachor is for the Zachar, Zeranpin, and Shemor is for Nukva of Zeranpin, and it's all one. And happy is Israel, who are part of the Creator, and their destiny and their share. And therefore it is said, happy is the people who God is their God.
You said before we need to work while reading the Zohar, like in a workshop. And from Washington they ask, what type of work of annulment should we do while reading the Zohar? Well, it's not important. We read the Zohar or the study of the Ten Sefirot or the articles or the letters. Or maybe we're just speaking between us. It's not important. This is called engaging in the Torah. Engaging in something, in a means that brings us the force of correction. Therefore, there's no such great difference regarding what you engage in. Of course, as Baal HaSulam explains to us in the preface to the study of the Ten Sefirot, there's a difference between the different parts of the Torah. And not all the parts are equal in their intensity, but nonetheless, all of them are called engaging in the Torah. When I disseminate, when I do other things, the means for my correction is called the Torah. Why? Because those means all have a remedy in them that brings me the light it reforms. So these could be actions when I'm, say, working in the kitchen. It doesn't matter. I'm maybe working towards another, for another. That's also called the Torah. The issue is, what do I want to achieve through my action? Therefore, the Torah and mitzvot are just the means. And a workshop simply has a different intensity, because in practice we actually sit down, and in practice we have an obligation, a commitment to connect between us and to find the answers for the questions that awaken or are given to us. Therefore, there it's more the intention, the aim is stronger. But that sensation of the workshop should exist every day, every moment of our life, and particularly in the study.
He asks whether during the reading specifically, is there a certain part of nullification we have to do?
No, there's nothing special in the study itself. During all of our actions, we have to restrict ourselves, avoid the ego blemishing, harming what we want to achieve, and we have to rise above ourselves and to restrict ourselves. Well, that we cannot do in a measurable manner. If we can't do it, unless we do it through the group, in the group, because there we can actually measure how much we're in it or not in it. And with the support of the friends, when I receive from them the relation, the importance of the dvekut, adhesion, and in such a way we can advance. So it's not important what I'm actually doing right now. That spirit that I feel in the workshop must be present in all of my actions, whether they're physical actions, mental actions, doesn't matter. Let's continue.
Paragraph 196. Shabbat is like the next world. Therefore, the fallow and the yovel are equal. Sorry, we read that. Sorry, yeah. We're now reading under the title, and the Creator built the rib. It is said, the Creator understood through her, and he knew her place. It is said, the Creator built the rib that he took from the man. The rib, the literal Torah, the Malchut, where there is a path, as it is written, he who gives a path in the sea. The sea is Malchut, and he gave a path. Therefore, the Creator understood through her. Because there are two aspects of Masachim, the lock and the key. And in the aspect of Gal from the Chazeh above, the lock was corrected. And in the aspect of Chazeh Vak from Chazeh and below, the key was corrected. It is written, in the sea, your path and your way through great water. From the Chazeh and above of Zeranpin, the great zone, it was corrected in the lock, which is called a path, and therefore it is unknown. The chasadim do not appear in it. From the chazen below, the key was corrected, which is called a path, and therefore it is known, and the chasadim appear by the illumination of Chochmah. And it is written, the Creator understood through her. As it is written, the Creator built the rib. The literal Torah, which has a path, the Nukva is from Chazen below of Zeranpin, about which it says, and the Creator built, meaning that he built her with the Mochin of Gal, because she was corrected by the key. As it's written, in the sea is your path, and therefore the Creator understood through her. Creator, Bina, that returned to be Chochmah, understood the influence of Bina through her, the key that becomes qualified to receive the Gal, as it's written, and he knew her place. Who is her place? The literal Torah Zeranpin, the great zone that are from Chazen above, where there is Dat, because the Zeranpin was not corrected but through the way, but not corrected in the way, but in the path, in the lock. And therefore, it is the middle line, which is called Dat, that determines between Chochmah and Bina.
I want to ask you, why are you not saying the number, the item number? Because it's not in Hebrew? Do you prefer that I give it to you in Hebrew? I don't understand, but I keep hearing that it's actually good for a person to know where he is. Why are you not giving the number? Also for those who translate and those who are now hearing us from afar. What is this disrespect? I don't understand it. If Bala Sulam decided to divide it into items, why are we not saying that? Where does this extra holiness come to you from? In order not to say 202, you prefer to say Reish Bet in Hebrew? Would that be better? It's unclear. And I hear that not just from you, but from all the other narrators. It's a lack of consideration, first of all, for the text itself. What's written is written. And secondly, with the people who are anywhere. So, please.
202. Havaya Elohim is the full name, in order to correct the Nukva in all. Therefore, the Mochin of the Nukva is called Chochmah in Bina, because it was built in a full name in all, with the wholeness of the two names, the Havaya, the Chochmah, and the Elohim, the Bina, by which it was corrected in all, in wholeness, whether the illumination of Chochmah that extends from the name Elohim, and the illumination of Chasadim that extends from the name Havaya, the wholeness of the two names. As it is said, the Creator understood through her, is the illumination of Chochmah that extends from Bina, which is called Elohim, or the Creator. And he knew her place, and this is the illumination of Chasadim that extends from Abba by Zeranpin, called Dat, which is Havaya. 203. The rib. This is a lamp that does not shine. Malchut. As it's written, in my rib they rejoiced. The rib comes from the word breakage and disaster, because the rib here implies the lamp that does not shine, which requires correction. As it's written, that the rib that he took from the man to the woman, he took the malchut from the written Torah, Zeranpin, because she emerges from the malchut of the written Torah to the woman. It is written to the woman to imply connecting her with the flame of the left side, because the Torah, Zeranpin, is given from the side of Gvura. And this Gvura is tied to the Nukva, Isha, letters Esh, He, indicating that the Esh, the fire of Gvura, will be connected to the He, the Nukva, 204. And he will bring it, give it to the man, because the Nukva cannot be alone. Rather, she needs to be incorporated and connected with the written Torah, Zeranpin. Since the Nukva has connected with Zeranpin, he will nourish her, correct her, and give her what she needs. And it is written, the land. The Vav of and the land in Hebrew indicates Zeranpin that bestows abundance to her, which is called nourishment. 205. From here, one who brings his daughter to marry, as long as she didn't enter her husband, her mother and father correct her and give her all she needs. And after she has connected to her husband, the husband nourishes her and gives her what she needs. First it says the Creator built, that Abba Ve'ima corrected her. Afterwards it says, and he brought her to the man, so they will connect as one, and the husband will give her what she needs. 206. The Creator understood through her that the daughter in her mother's house, the mother looks every day at what her daughter needs, and Elohim, Ima, understood through her the Nukva. After her husband married her, he gives her all she wants and corrects her needs. That is, the husband knew her place, and he supervises her after she marries him. We'll move on to the next part.